On this edition of Sports with Pert, we got Dave Hyde, our esteemed columnist here on the couch. Welcome, Dave.
I love that esteemed. Keep that up, Pert.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's very. I know how to treat my guests. Dave, as the Heat enters into free agency, what are the top priorities here? We think it's Gordon Hayward number one, but is there a chance that Deion Waiters and or James Johnson is kind of right there with Gordon Hayward?
Well, I think plan A would be Gordon Hayward. And
at $31 million, 30.9.
Well, not only could they get him, but they block the Celtics from getting him. And if you're looking at the Heat path to the Eastern Conference Finals when LeBron leaves, you know, they can't let the Celtics get the second place. If they get Gordon Hayward, I'm not a big fan of what the Celtics are doing, but all of a sudden they have a pretty good team for the next several years. So I think plan A is Gordon Hayward. Plan B is really keep what they got, because there's no, you know, does Blake Griffin excite you? Does Paul Millsaps excite you?
The trading for Paul George, which the Heat probably doesn't even have assets, though.
Well, you know, that brings up the other thing. Is he really on the table, and could they come to some agreement with him? Because we all know Pat Riley loves his whales. Paul George is a whale.
Yep. And that does kind of bleed into free agency, because we don't know when Indiana is going to trade Paul George, if they're going to do it, if it's going to be sometime soon. I thought it might have been draft night. Apparently there were some deals, some possibilities out there. But, okay, Gordon Hayward comes here to the Heat, and he's got the $30.9 million, $31 million. Where is the Heat as far as filling out the rest of the lineup?
Well, they'd have some more money to go, especially, look, if they're going to go for Hayward, you would think they would have some type of trade with Utah, because Utah notoriously can't sign free agents. Yep. Okay, so would they want a package deal of a Justice Winslow, a Tyler Johnson, and for the Heat's sake, Josh McRoberts to take back his salary? So if the Heat can structure some type of package with that and get some money off the books, then they'd have some more money to do something else with. So it'll be interesting. You know, it's the NBA right now in the summer is more interesting than, say, January in the NBA, but just because of the permutations that each roster can have.
So if Gordon Hayward takes the money, signs with the Heat, then is it basically Deion Waiters, James Johnson, here's an offer, whoever takes it first, you're with us, the other one might be... You have to look elsewhere.
You know, that will be interesting, because I think part of that will where's Tyler Johnson? You know, does he go back to Utah? Because then all of a sudden they got a lot of similar players, and Tyler Johnson and Deion Waiters and
Josh
Gordon
Richardson.
Hayward, Josh Richardson. Yeah. So, you know, James Johnson's a different animal. Right. On the other hand, he's 31. So, you know, the interesting question for the Heat, as much as they loved last year's team in the second half, if you bring all those guys back for the next 2 years, is it going to be the same team? Because you rarely is it.
Correct. Yeah, and that's what Pat and Eric Spoelstra and everybody down there have to determine. Dave, when you look at Bam Adebayo, the Heat's first round pick, 6'10", out of Kentucky, power forward, center type, although Pat Riley said you don't want to put him in a box, you don't want to try to do that, or maybe it was Spo who said that. What do you see for Bam? What is the value of that pick?
Well, the value is they see a huge upside in him. Okay, they saw his game limited in Kentucky because of all the talent around him.
De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk,
And you didn't even hear of his outside game. And the first thing that he talked about was in his workout, he had a very good outside shot. So in the way the NBA is going, a stretch four, which is what it's looked like he'd be, a backup to Whiteside, depending on the roster. But when the Heat draft somebody like that, they're looking at a big upside in 2, 3, 4 years down the line, not necessarily year one.
Yeah, and you're looking at possibly, as they said, you needed some front court help, right? You don't know what's going to happen with James Johnson. You don't know what's going to happen with Willie Reed. You don't know what's going to happen with Luke Babbitt. So you do have some...
Not only front court, not only help, young, inexpensive help.
Yes,
which, as we're going into free agency and you're measuring how many dollars, that's important to have.
Yeah, you're right. Dave, in the Eastern Conference, If the Heat gets Gordon Hayward, where are they? If they don't, where are they? And I know that depends on a lot of other things, what Cleveland does, Boston, but can you say they're a 45-win team with Gordon Hayward? Definitely, maybe still 41 without? What do you think?
Oh, I think they'd be 45 to 50 wins with Gordon Hayward. They would be with everybody else as number two in the East. You could pick them above Washington, above Boston.
Toronto, we don't know what's happening with Kyle Lowry.
You got a lot of similar teams that don't scare you. You know, the Heat, because of what they did at the end of last year, because of what Spoelstra can do with the roster, they've been an interesting team with Hayward.
Yeah. What do you think is the biggest realistic danger for the Heat in the offseason? That you get locked out of Gordon Hayward, you get priced out of Deion Waiters, and you get priced out of James Johnson? I don't think all three of those could happen, right? Maybe you get locked out of Hayward, and maybe you lose either Waiters or Johnson, but you couldn't lose all three,
right? I don't think you would lose. Look, if Pat Riley wants to sign all last year's team, he can do it right away. So the fact that I'd assume they're going to take their time, interview with Hayward, possibly interview with Blake Griffith and Paul Millsap. To me, the worst scenario is Hayward goes to Boston. As I mentioned earlier, all of a sudden, they're not a great team, but they're a very good team that's added interesting pieces this offseason. They got a good coach. And now they, for the next several years, they're going to be waiting for Cleveland to falter, and they're going to be the team right behind them, and the Heat are going to be in the group behind that.
Yeah. Real quick, what do you think Boston does? Ainge, 7 first-round picks over the next 3 years? Do you think they make a big move soon, or do you think this carries into maybe February trade deadline?
I would think, in the NBA, you don't look at measure trades and all that. You look who got the best player.
Right.
Whoever got the best player wins that trade. And the problem with Boston is they're making good trades that work out, but they don't have that, as Riley would say, a whale. They don't have that bona fide superstar to build around. And when you go into a 7-game playoff series, is going to win you a couple games. And that's what wins in the NBA.
Yeah. All right. Well, free agency starts July 1st on Saturday, 12:01 a.m. We will see who the Heat gets an interview with, who they make their first call to. Is the first call to Gordon Hayward?
I would think as long as the line's not busy, the first call is to him.
That's what I would think, but we will find out very soon. That's Dave Hyde. I'm Chris Perkins. You're watching Sports with Perk on SunSentinel.com, and this will be on podcast, so be sure to catch it then, or you can catch us on SunSentinel.com.